Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary, and we're going to start out this week's session with an update on Lahaina. For those of you who are traveling back to Hawaii, Lahaina is making an incredible recovery at this point. I saw some really good news pop up on Instagram the other day. I don't know exactly how far down the road it is in terms of having the electricity lines and everything else that have to be in place, but they are rapidly making this progress, and the banyan tree looked healthy. So I'm hoping that the island is going to be back certainly a lot sooner than we had hoped from the beginning. I did have a treat last night. I now was able to pull my third grandchild's first tooth.
Oh.
And it was my son Julian, my grandson Julian, he knows that I have that assignment, and it's been wiggly for quite some time. So last night was the night that he pronounced that he wanted it to come out. And I was able to sidetrack him enough at the point when we were getting ready to extract it. And I said, so, where's your front tooth? And he stuck his tongue in there. He said, oh, my God, it's gone already. How did you do that? So anyway, it was a thrill for me. I know it's trivial, but I've done it for my two granddaughters. They're older, 6 and 8, 7 and 9 actually now.
So was there a visit later that night from the Tooth Fairy?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he had a big night with the Tooth Fairy, so all is well. I have one remaining, Ava. She is a year younger than Juju at 5, so yeah, I'll be ready for that one too. Shohei Ohtani made his spring training debut by hitting a home run in the first game, and Corey, our receptionist today, is wearing his Ohtani jersey, so I imagine that the spring training site, the memorabilia stores are probably selling a ton of stuff. So good for the Dodgers. They're off to a good start. Cody Bellinger, a former Dodger, re-signed with the Chicago Cubs. Steve Kerr, the coach of the Golden State Warriors, just signed an incredible 2-year contract for $36 million. And so good luck to him. And, you know, there was a little bit of a problem with people storming the court in the Duke game. A player got hurt, so that's a never-ending thing that's probably not going to go away. They shouldn't do a very good job of that. Anyway, we're going to be right back with our special guest, Mike Ruzzoni, right after this.
Feeling sluggish? Have brain fog? Wishing you had more energy? Well, there's a new science-backed solution that's just what you need. It's Gresca's Carbon 60. It's like a tiny Pac-Man for your cells, gobbling up free radicals that damage your body and brain. C60 has been shown to boost your energy levels, increase cognitive health and brain function, and work at the cellular level. Experience the improvements for yourself. Visit www.c-60.com. That's c-60.com. Gresca's Carbon 60. Take control of your health and feel the difference. Call anytime at 720-600-6040, 720-600-6040, or visit c-60.com and read our testimonials. c-60.com.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Call right now and receive a free gift. Call 1-800-785-9618. Donate your car today. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Fred Dreyer here, the heartburn hunter. You know, when you're young, your immune system is strong. But as you get older, coffee, alcohol, and fast food makes your body acidic. But now there's Balance 7. In just 3 days, it starts diluting the acid buildup in your body. 3 1-ounce drinks a day is all you're going to need. Are you tired of just being sick and tired? Balance 7 is the answer. You'll notice less joint discomfort, more energy, and heartburn is no longer a problem. You'll feel younger and healthier with more mental clarity. I know because I use it every day. Right now, try Balance 7 and get 15% off your order. A free bottle of My Smooth Skin, free shipping, and a money-back guarantee. So you have nothing to lose, folks. Call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. That's 800-793-9039 or visit balance7.com, code word Fred. Call 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's Fresh Produce Box delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY for the freshest game day fuel around.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. So we'll see about that. Ron Say here again with Mike Carey. And Mike Aruzioni will receive a beautiful gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Please be sure to use my VIP code Ron Say when checking out at Melissa's.com. Our special guest today has an incredible story to tell, and I'm going to let him tell it as much as he wants to. Mike Aruzioni, a guy that grew up in Boston, had an early beginning with hockey, grew up in Winthrop, Massachusetts. I'm going to let you tell your story. As I said, welcome, Mike. Pleased to have you here.
Hey, Ron. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you have one of those stories that I think is one of the more incredible ones, that as it has been acknowledged. You were part of the Miracle on Ice back in 1980 with Team USA in the Olympic Games, beating the Russians and then having to finish it off with the Finland team, and you scored that incredible goal that put you on the map. I want to get back to the beginnings of that. How did this dream get started, where this was in Winthrop?
Well, I grew up in Winthrop, Mass. It's a little town, just kind of a little outside of Boston, actually right near Logan Airport. It's a little peninsula town. I've lived here for 69 years. I actually live two houses from the house I grew up in. My wife grew up four houses from me. My son lives directly behind me. My daughter lives down the street. So it's a great little community that I grew up in. You know, Ron, when I was a kid, we didn't have hockey in my hometown. We didn't even have a hockey rink, but they used to freeze the tennis courts down the street from where I lived.
Oh my God.
That's how I kind of got started skating. But believe it or not, I played more baseball than anything. Hockey was something I just did in the wintertime. And in high school, I played football as well. So it was a kind of crazy start in the sport of ice hockey because, you know, the only reason I played because my friends played. We didn't have a team or a town that had a program. And then when I got to be 12 years old, we finally started a hockey program in town. I was playing hockey for a town not far away, a place called Revere, Massachusetts, which is just a town that abuts Winthrop.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once Winthrop started a program, I got more into the game of hockey. But like I said, I was more of a baseball player than I was a hockey player.
Well, you know, you were in the beginning, you said that you've been in this area for 69 years. It reminded me, I've been in my home here in Southern California for over 50 now. So there is something about home comfort. You got started with the Berwick Academy. How did that happen? You have to be kind of an elite player to get asked to go do that, don't you?
Well, when I graduated high school, I academically and my grades could have been a little better. And I didn't know I wanted to play football, hockey, and baseball in college. So I went to Berwick Academy in Maine with the hope of going to the University of New Hampshire. They had a really good baseball program at the time, and obviously a great hockey program and football program. Well, as it turned out, the hockey coach didn't think I was a Division I player. And I kind of had all my eggs in one basket because the football and baseball coach really liked me. And I thought, this is easy. I'm going to go to UNH. Well, I had no school to go to. And there was a small Division III school at the time called Merrimack College that offered me a scholarship to play hockey. So I thought, you know, well, looks like the other school is not going to work out. Why don't I go to Merrimack and play, you know, hockey? And in the summer, I didn't play hockey in the summer. I played baseball in the summer. And a friend of mine called me and he said, we need a guy to play in a summer league game. Do you want to play? A bunch of the guys went to Cape Cod for the weekend, for a little vacation. And I said, yeah, you need a guy to play. I'll play. So I went and played in the game. And as it turned out, the guy refereeing the game was a guy named Jack Parker. Now, I didn't know who Jack Parker was other than he was the referee in the game. Well, when the game was over, he came up to me and asked me where I was going to school. I told him I was going to Merrimack. He said, well, we had a kid from Canada that decided not to come. Do you want to come to Boston University? I said, it has to be a full scholarship. And he says, yeah, it was $3,500 was the scholarship, room, board, and tuition at the time. And I said, you know, BU's coming off back-to-back national championships. And I said, yeah, I'd love to come to BU. I said, but I have to talk to my dad. So I went home and told my dad the story. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, Dad, I can play there. So I met Jack Parker the next day and accepted the scholarship to Boston University. Well, the head coach didn't know me from Adam and, you know, tried out for the Terriers. And the beginning, I was on the kind of the JV team at the first maybe week or so. Although the season had it started, I wasn't really practicing with the varsity other than the odd day. So I eventually started the season with the varsity. And after about six games, Leon Abbott got fired for some recruiting violations. Well, Jack Parker became the head coach. So I went from centering the fourth line to playing left wing on the second line and led our team in scoring my freshman year. And then Jack Parker would go on and coach for 40 years at Boston University, a legendary coach. The rink is named after him. And you know, if I never played in that summer league game, I never would have gone to Boston University. And clearly, if I didn't go to Boston University, I don't know if I would have been looked at to play on an Olympic team a few years later. So that's kind of how my hockey career ended up kind of going.
So did the competition at BU, you know, they were had a very successful program. You won there. You won a number of hockey championships at different levels. How did it prepare you for getting ready for the Olympic?
I just think the playing competitive. I mean, Division I hockey is as good as it gets at that time, and BU, as you said, one of the powerhouses in hockey at the time. So just coming out of that program is already somewhat of a feather in your cap. But you know, again, my life took a different turn because when I graduated from Boston University, the Olympics were 2 years away, 3 years away. I graduated in 1977. So I went to camp with the New York Rangers. They had my rights after college. So I go to camp with the New York Rangers. And again, this is a crazy part of my life. I go to camp with the Rangers and had a good camp. John Ferguson was the general manager at the time, and he called me up and he said, look, Mike, you had a great camp. We really like, you know, the way you're playing, but we're not going to sign any new players. We have our number one draft pick signed and a couple of other high-end draft picks. And at that time, they still had Rod Gilbert and Phil Esposito and some great players. So
okay,
go to Toledo, Ohio, and you can play the Toledo Gold Diggers, an affiliate of ours, but you can go and play for the Gold Diggers, but you won't have an NHL contract. You'll have what they call a minor league contract or an amateur contract. So I'd get paid every 2 weeks. And I think I made $3,500 or $3,800 my first year in Toledo. So anyway, I go to Toledo, and our team won the Calder Trophy, which is the championship of the league. And I was the rookie of the year and led our team in scoring. And I thought I was going to sign with the New York Rangers. Well, John Ferguson got fired, and Fred Sherrill became the general manager of the New York Rangers. And he called my advisor and said, look, we're not going to sign any of John's guys. Mike's free to do what he wants to do. At that point, I thought, you know what, why don't I go back to Toledo and stay an amateur and try out maybe for the 80 Olympic team? Because you couldn't be a pro in those days. So I wasn't a pro because I never had an NHL contract. I had a basically two-week contract and could get fired or traded or sent home at any point. So I went back to Toledo with the hope of trying out for the 80 Olympic team, and I went and tried out for the 80 Olympic team and made the 80 Olympic team. And then you and I are talking here today. So it's funny because if John Ferguson never got fired, I probably would have signed with the Rangers. I don't know where my career would have gone, but I would have been a pro and not allowed to try out for the Olympic team.
Well, prior to you going and playing for Toledo, you know, you played for Team USA in 75 and 76. And this is a part of your winning history is you had two world championship tournaments that you played in. This is about as good as it gets. You're playing the best competition you can possibly play, getting yourself prepared for a potential run at Olympic gold medal. And you had success. You were Rookie of the Year. You led your team in scoring. You were an all-star caliber player. Your teams were good. It seems like being the captain of the USA team kind of fell right in your lap, didn't it?
Well, yeah, obviously, I've said this many times. It was a great honor, and I've taken great pride in being the captain of that team. But I've also told people for years I was a captain amongst captains.
Understood.
You know, we had 20 guys in that Olympic team, and I think 15 or 16 were captains of their high school or college teams. So, you know, you've been around great players and great teams, and it's not one guy that leads a team. It's a bunch of people, and I was fortunate to be a captain of a team of great players.
You're right. It has to be a nucleus of players. There might be one leader, but he's the one who kind of stirs the pot and gets everybody else in there to contribute. We're so pleased to have our special guest, Mike Arruzzioni, on today. The Miracle on Ice. We'll be right back with Mike right after this message.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
If you're moving to another state, you're getting a fresh start in a brand new town. And when you choose a moving company to help get your valuable possessions to that new home of yours, you want somebody that's going to take care of your things like you would. That's why you need to call Colonial Van Lines. They're America's number one moving company for a reason. Because they'll take care of your things like they would their possessions. They'll use caution so nothing gets damaged. And they won't treat you like a number, they'll treat you like a friend. And when you call now on a qualified move across state lines, they'll give you a $250 discount. Move your things the right way. Call Colonial Van Lines now for a free quote.
Call now to learn more about this special $250 long-distance move discount. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. 800-847-0225. That's 800-847-0225.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. And we are back with our special guest, Mike Ruzioni, the captain of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey champions, the gold medal winners. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, how excited you might have been when you really started to feel like, you know, this Olympic thing was going to happen. And the players that you ran into, you brought the creme de la creme of what we had available at the time. How did that all mesh in together?
Well, that was great. You know, when you surround yourself with not only great players, but great people, it's a fun atmosphere to be in the locker room with the team as we prepared for 6 months to get ready for the Olympic Games, the traveling that we did. You know, I've said many, many times over the years, other than, I think, being in the military or a police officer or a firefighter, there's no greater opportunity that you have to represent your country than do it during the Olympic Games. When you put a USA jersey on, it's not LA, it's not Chicago or Boston, it's your country. So right away, you're already excited about the opportunity you're having to go to the Olympic Games. And in our case, to do it in our own country, in Lake Placid, made it even that much more exciting. But I think just the whole, you know, idea of being on a team like that and traveling around the country, like I said, preparing for the games, the joy, the fun, the challenges, just made it so great. And, you know, once you got there, that's when it really hit. You know, that's when you march in the opening ceremonies and realize that you're there. Although we did play one game before the opening ceremonies, but I think once you got into Lake Placid, the excitement that was there and the you know, anticipation of what was going to follow, you didn't know. You know, it was the old, you know, one game at a time type of thing, but just getting there, getting to the village, knowing that you had made the Olympic team because there were, you know, 26 players on the team at the beginning, six players got cut. So you didn't know you were going to be there till the end, regardless of whether you were a captain or not. So right. I just think the anticipation of getting to the Olympic Games was pretty exciting. And like I said, once you got there, it was pretty special.
Once you got to those games, Mike, and once again, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. What was the atmosphere like in the Olympic Village? We hear all these stories every Olympic year about it's a lot of fun, but also, especially in Olympic Village here in the United States, what was the atmosphere when you first got there and we were mingling with all these other athletes?
Well, you know, it's funny, from what I've been told by the other athletes, it's a lot different now than it was then. And we pretty much kept to ourselves to some degree. You know, Lake Placid was a small little village. It was actually, they turned it into a prison after. But hockey was different because you played every other day. You know, you had to practice a game, You know, if you were a speed skater where you might have one race, so you skated the second day of the Olympics and then you were done. So you had, you know, 14 days of just having some fun. But in our case was, you know, we had a game, then we had to practice the next day and you'd go back to the village and meet some of the other athletes, but you didn't have a lot of time to know all of them. Plus, you wanted to watch some of the other events as well. You wanted to watch us figure skaters, or in our case, we wanted to watch Eric Heiden in his performance.
Oh, so, yeah. God, I remember that too. Wow.
Yeah. You know, so you got to witness some of these athletes. But back in the village, you really just kind of hung together as a team. I didn't really meet any other athletes from other countries as far as hanging with them other than saying hello. And you might see them at the arcade or a movie at night. Or, you know, they had entertainers. I know Dionne Warwick came in and performed one night. And Jamie Farr, Klinger from MASH, he came in and performed one night.
Former neighbor of mine.
Crystal Gale was a singer, and she came and performed one night in the village. So we had a little excitement there. But, you know, again, as we kept playing and winning, we couldn't go into Lake Placid because if anybody knew, you know, you were on the 80 Olympic team, boy, you would just get swarmed by people. So you basically stayed in the village and, you know, did and had fun with the opportunities they gave you to spend time in the village.
I have one question after I'm going to make this statement. I really do believe that looking back on my career, having an opportunity to represent Team USA in the Olympics might have been my biggest thrill. I can't even imagine what it was for that that introduction of Team USA when all the countries are going around the circle and this this dream and this reality, the whole world is watching you. You know, not just a couple of states in the country or whatever, but the whole world is watching.
Right.
And the question I have is this prison that was would the hockey rink be inside of the prison if it was there?
No.
Thank God, that would have been a horrible memorial.
The village was about a 15-minute ride to where the hockey was and where the speed skating was. So yeah, we were kind of on the outskirts, somewhat of Lake Placid in terms of where we were staying.
So you now you've got your team together. Now you are playing a few exhibition games to warm up for the games. Who are some of your favorite teammates? Who are some of the guys that you really admired and that really helped push this team to its goal?
Well, I think it might sound crazy, but we all got along and there was no favorites. I mean, obviously, the four of us played at Boston University together. So I knew the BU guys really well. I had played with O'Callaghan and Silk and Jimmy Craig. I only played 1 year with Jimmy and Dave, but Jack and I were close friends because we had played against each other in summer league games over the years. The Minnesota guys, and they were 12 guys from Minnesota.
Wow.
9 that played at the University of Minnesota. So those guys kind of knew each other. So throughout the course of our 6 months of training, we got to know everybody very well. And, the mindset of a hockey player, I think to me anyway, is very different than a baseball player or a basketball player. You understand at a young age how important your teammates are. It's not like you go out and if you hit 360, hey, I had a great year, but maybe we didn't win. But we as a team understood right away in order for us to be successful, we had to work together and understand everybody had a role and everybody had a job and a responsibility. And, Mark Johnson was our best hockey player. We don't win without Mark Johnson. But how good would Mark have been if his two linemates and defensemen weren't doing their job as well? So I think as a team, we realized how important each member was in order for us to be successful. So I think that made our bond and friendship, even 44 years later, as close as it is now. We didn't just respect each other. We loved each other. We loved being around each other. We loved being on the buses or trains or planes or wherever we were going to games because we just shared in one common goal, and that was to go to the games and perform to the best of our abilities. And when you do it together, I think that was a key part of our success. And we had a lot of fun. I'm sure some of the Minnesota guys liked some of the Minnesota guys better because they had played together for so many years, but we had a lot of fun with the bonding and the friendship.
Yeah, you definitely need that to move forward. And you can always tell when people are having a good time and people are always tugging at the same end of the rope. You're now getting down near the time that the Olympic Games are going to start, and you're going to play an exhibition game against the best team in international hockey, the Russians, not very dominant team. And you got thrashed 10-3, I believe, is the score. What kind of an attitude did you guys have, and what kind of expectations did you have? Did you really think that you had a chance for a medal?
Well, I think, the game against the Soviets, 10-3, we were losing 6-0 after the first period, and then ended up losing 10-3. But I remember after the game when Herb talked to our team, he said, gentlemen, and this is why I think Herb was a great coach and a great motivator. He said, if you ever play them again, and we don't know if we are because they're in the other division, we're not going to see them unless we get to the medal round. He said, remember how you played in the second and third period, not the first period where you stood around and watched. So we left there with a whole different mindset. We didn't lose 10-3. We kind of lost 4-3.
Okay.
Because we finally woke up and realized that we had a game to play. I think in the first period, we just stood around and watched, knowing how good they were. And I played against the Soviets a few times in world championship games. So, I had known who they were and what they were all about. A lot of my teammates had never played against them before. So I think we went to Lake Placid with a totally different mindset. If he had screamed and yelled at us and told us how bad we were, maybe we would have gone on that bus and thought we had no chance. But instead, we couldn't wait to go to Lake Placid and play. We played even with the best team in the world. Let's see what's going to happen. So again, I think we went into the games open-minded. Yeah, as you well know, you're playing in a World Series or whatever. You're nervous, you're anxious, you're curious, you're excited. But you can't, make it bigger than it is. And I think we just really looked at it as one game at a time. And let's play Sweden. Let's see what happens. And, we tied Sweden. Then we blew out the Czechs, who were the only team that anybody thought could beat the Soviets. Now our mindset was, hey, guys, we can get to the medal round. And that was our goal, get to the medal round. If you get to the medal round, anything can happen. So that was really kind of how we approached it, and we approached it because that's how Herb approached it. That Soviet game that we lost 10-3 was never, ever talked about again. It wasn't brought up pregame when we were playing them. It wasn't brought up after the Olympic Games. It's, you know, when it's brought up is when I do interviews and people talk about it.
Right.
It's as if the game never happened or it was ever even played, because it was the 68th game of a long, grinding exhibition season, and it was over. We had lost, and now it's time to move on and play the real games.
Well, I think this is where coaches earn their money, as you mentioned. Herb Brooks was able to turn that that game into a positive after it being so very, very negative, and gave you an opportunity to have a short memory, move on, continue to play hard, work towards this goal that we all have. He got you in the right frame of mind, and you guys were peaking. Once you beat the Czechs, that had to give you really a big boost, because they were one of the better teams as well. And I want to talk more about this this championship game that you – or this medal round game that you played with the Russians when we return. And then, of course, I want to talk about the gold medal game too. Most people forget that the Russian game was not the gold medal game. So – it's very important, the mentality that one has between understanding that, and I'm interested to hear what you have to say. So we're going to take a small break. We're going to be right back after this with our special guest, Mike Iruzione.
Get ready. This week, Staples has deals so good, you're going to want to sit down. Are you sitting? I'll wait. Great. Right now, during Staples Sit-A-Thon, you can save up to $180 on select chairs. That's up to $180 off desk chairs, up to $180 off computer chairs, and up to $180 off gaming chairs. So hurry into Staples now for the Staples Sit-A-Thon and grab a seat or two. Ends 3-2. In-store only. See associate for details.
People who come to Cricut stay with Cricut, just like our customer Paul.
I run a farm with my family, and thanks to Cricut 5G, I know they can reach me, even when I'm out walking our dog Valentine.
Good dog Valentine, big nationwide 5G. Get fast 5G on four lines for only $25 per month each. Smile, you're on Cricut.
Real customer pay for testimonial. Discounts vary per line. Cricut 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
You're in luck if you want to make a career out of saving the planet. According to a new IBM and Morning Consult study, most employers are looking to hire or train people with both green and tech skills. IBM is stepping in to help by giving students, job seekers, and career changers access to free online courses to earn credentials on these topics. The courses offer basic training for green tech jobs in just about any industry. More courses and credentials are being added all the time at skillsbuild.org. Justina Nixon, Chief Impact Officer.
Rewarding jobs that help the environment now have a strong technology component. Employers really need people that can combine both disciplines. IBM Skills Build is a great way to get prepared for careers in the new green economy.
IBM Skills Build also provides free resources available for teachers, like student activity kits and lesson plans. Head to skillsbuild.org and see how free courses and credentials on green tech topics can give you an edge. Sponsored by IBM.
We could try to explain what it feels like to get your work done on a John Deere. The way a Z-Track mower finishes in half the time you thought it would. Or how much easier it is to move mountains of soil with a 1-Series tractor. We could even go into detail about how it feels to tow up to 4,000 pounds behind a Gator XUV. But if you really want to know what it's like to run with us, you just have to get in the seat. Learn more at johndeere.com/get-in-the-seat or visit a dealer near you.
Tax Talk with Straight Talk.
You give and you give. This tax season you get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. So you can give your janky phone to your kid.
Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk for plans starting as low as $25 a line per month for 4 lines. Find us at straighttalk.com. For network management practices, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Taxes and fees apply.
The fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And welcome back to We'll See About That. This week in Dodger history, 1966. Refusing to report to spring training, Dodger pitchers Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale begin their joint holdout, asking for a $1 million 3-year contract to be divided equally between them. The deal, equivalent to an annual salary of $167K for each hurler, will make them the best paid baseball players, easily surpassing Ron's hero Willie Mays at $125K a year for the Giants.
Well, my guys and more of my guys and those villains, you know, how dare they, you know, hold out for that kind of money?
Oh, I know. I'm so ungrateful.
Can you imagine what free agency and arbitration may have been like in those years?
Sandy Koufax would be the Mr. Ohtani of his day.
Yes, he would. Oh, wow. Anyway, we're back with Mike Arruzzioni. And, Mike, I want to get right to now this game that you are going to be playing, the biggest game of your life, I imagine, to this point. The vaunted Russians in the gold medal round. Take it away.
Well, obviously, you know, we're in a position where we wanted to be and get to the medal round. And I've always told people for years and years, if you think you're going to lose, you probably will. But we went into the game excited. I think I may have even said this earlier, anxious, curious, nervous, as you would always be before a big game. But the important thing for us was to just continue to play our game and not make it bigger than it is. Because if you make it bigger than it is, you're going to run around and make mistakes. And if you're not prepared, you're going to get your head handed to you. So I think the mindset going in, and Herb said this to us constantly throughout the Olympics, was play your game, play your game. We were never concerned about what other teams were doing. We needed to continue to play the way we were playing throughout the Olympic Games and don't change. You know, I think if we got behind a few goals, then maybe we would have to change the way we were going to play. But the fact that the game stayed within one goal the whole time, you know, kept our confidence up, kept us believing that we were in the game and could continue to play the way we were playing and keep the game close. But, you know, clearly you go into the game and just waiting to play. It's the biggest, at this point, the biggest games any of us had ever played.
I think he probably shook up the Russians a little bit by keeping it so close in the first quarter.
I think they, you know, they might be getting a little frustrated themselves, thinking, "What the heck? We should be up by 5 goals here,
right?
And it's a 1-goal game." So probably more pressure on them than what was on us, because we were just continuing to play the way we were capable of playing.
Was there a unique style that the Russian team played with? And was there any sort of strategy that Herb gave you guys to counter that style?
Well, that was the whole, you know, system that Herb wanted us to play, was the European style of hockey. You know, people don't know the Olympic Games is played on a bigger sheet of ice. It's wider. It's longer. It's a totally different game. And the Europeans, they grew up in that sheet of ice. So we for 6 months, we trained to play the European game. And that's what Herb said. We're going to learn the European hockey, and we're going to throw it right back at the Europeans. So, you know, we were prepared to play the style that the Soviets play, which is a lot of crisscrossing, a lot of interchanging of position, a lot of throwing the puck back and regrouping and attacking, things that we see now in the NHL. It's a very different game on the big sheet of ice. So we knew how the Soviets played. We knew how all the international teams played. And our team was geared to turn and play that type of hockey. And we were successful at it, one, because we were young, and two, we could skate. We had great speed. And our conditioning was incredible. Every player that I played with after the Olympics, when we talked years later, said it was the best shape they've ever been in. And I'll give you a statistic, which was pretty amazing, and I didn't know about it until about a couple of years ago, is we outscored our opponents in the third period, 16-3. That's an unbelievable number.
Yep.
And I think that just showed, you know, the speed and the conditioning of our team. And I think the Soviets were surprised by it. I think we caught them by surprise, not realizing, you know, it wasn't the same team they played in Madison Square Garden. That's for damn sure. And, you know, we might have got them off their game a little, you know, other than the second period when we took some penalties and they really dominated the second period. But they still only had that 1-goal lead going into the third.
Well, you know, I believe that that there was probably a lot of intimidation that they could throw your way. the fact that you stayed close is always troublesome when you get into these big games. Put them away when you can and then stretch the lead. The fact that you were holding on started to bother them a great deal.
I watched it on YouTube last night.
I watched the game live,
yeah.
Which is really incredible to me. That's why it's a little closer to me. And I remember, you know, Al Michaels doing the play-by-play. And so, Mike, take it to the point in the third quarter when you guys now take the lead.
Well, Mark Johnson scored a goal to tie it up with 10 minutes left to go in the game. And maybe it was a little less than 10 minutes. But you know, Mark scored so many big goals, I forget how many of them there were. But Mark tied it at 3, and then I scored with 10 minutes left to go to put us ahead 4-3. And for me, it just gave us the lead. And again, like Herb kept saying, just play your game, play your game. We can't do anything different. We have a lead now. Let's not sit back. Let's keep going after him and going after him. And, you know, like I said, I've only seen the game a couple of times. And I remember the last time I watched it a few years ago was when they didn't have that many shots on goal after I scored. Right. I think they only had five or maybe six shots on goal. And we really took it to them in those last 10 minutes, although we stood back a little. I think we could have been a little more aggressive, but maybe they're just consciously thinking, don't make a mistake.
Exactly.
Don't do anything to take it, you know. If you're going to make a decision, make a defensive decision, not an offensive decision. So I think that was kind of how it kind of played out. And we played four lines. We didn't, you know, we just kept sending guys over the boards. And sometimes you might be out on the ice for 20 seconds and then you're off and another guy's jumping on. So we just kept going after him and going after him. And he looked at the clock and it was like a quicksand. It was the longest 10 minutes of your life, but you know, he just kept going at it. Next thing you know, there was 9 minutes, then eight, then seven, six, five. And, you know, then the game's over.
And an incredible victory against all odds. Al Michaels made the great call, I think, within the last few seconds of the final buzzer and said, do you believe in miracles? And I believe that's one of those things that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life if you're a sports fan. And it has been duly acknowledged. There has been numerous things that it has been compared to.
It's been chosen by Sports Illustrated 1999 as the greatest sports moment of the 20th century.
Yeah.
Voted the greatest highlight of all time by ESPN viewers.
Yeah, yeah. Those are pretty special things. And you know, here's the funny thing. You haven't won the gold medal yet. And I think you know where I'm going to go with this. You just probably won the biggest game of your life, and now you got one more game to play against a very good Finland team, and it's for the gold. And if you don't win the gold, that game doesn't mean as much.
Well, if we don't win the gold, there was a chance we could have come in fourth place.
Okay.
And depending on the outcome of the Sweden Russian game. So if we tie the game, there's a chance we maybe win a bronze. But you know, that's why you play the game. And this was the biggest game any of us had ever played. And, you know, I've said this many times. If we don't beat Finland, you and I aren't having this conversation.
Probably not.
Hey, Mike, geez, great Olympics. If you only could have beat Finland to win the gold medal. You know, great game against the Soviets. But, boy, if you only could have beat Finland. So we knew that was the biggest game. And we're losing 2-1 going into the third period. We were trailing many times throughout the Olympic Games. And that's when Herb made the speech when he said, if you lose this game, you'll take it to your bleeping grave. Then he walked out, he stood at the door, and he pointed his finger back at us, and he said, your bleeping grave. And he was so right. You know, to come so far, to work so hard, to let it slip away would have stayed with us forever.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, I think the best 20 minutes of hockey we played all Olympic Games, maybe all year, the best 20 minutes of hockey we played as a team was those final 20 against Finland. And we scored 3 goals and we went 4-2 and we win the whole thing.
And bring the Olympic gold medal back to the United States for hockey. What an incredible accomplishment. You know, the movie was made of it. Herb Brooks was played by Kurt Russell. I remember watching that movie as well. It was an exciting reminder of what you guys had pulled off. And I think any sports fan probably felt really good about that feel-good story. Unfortunately, we don't have enough of those kind of feel-good stories today, but certainly...
We could use a 1980 right now.
Yeah, we sure could. But you know what? An incredible accomplishment. You've etched yourself in hockey fame. So has the team. We're certainly grateful for the efforts that you put forth. I can't imagine what it would be like to win a gold medal, but I'm sure you wear it well. And you got icing on the cake because you will never be forgotten for scoring that winning goal against the Russians. And what was the quote that some of your friends used to say if you'd have missed that shot?
Yeah, in college, I painted bridges in the summer. That was my summer job. And I actually said it to a friend of mine. I said, geez, if that was 3 more inches to the left, I might still be painting bridges.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be, but it's kind of a funny line.
Oh, of course it is. And that's bringing light to it all and the accomplishment of it. Tremendous, tremendous. After hockey, and I shouldn't say after hockey, you had a bit of a mess on your plate with the Toledo Gold Diggers, right? They came at you for saying that you were a professional, and they tried to take your medal away.
That was the infamous Alan Eagleson, the Canadian attorney. Not a very nice man, obviously, but he tried to say that Buzzy Schneider and I were professionals because Buzzy played in Milwaukee for the Admirals and I played for the Gold Diggers. But what Mr. Eagleson didn't look at is we never signed a professional contract with any teams. We were paid every 2 weeks, just basically living to pay our, the apartment I lived in and expenses that I might have had. So there was no contract. I could have been sent home any minute. If I had a contract, then they couldn't cut me or trade me. But we signed minor league contracts, our amateur contracts. But that idiot wanted to make a big thing out of it because we won the gold medal and Canada didn't.
That's correct. And you get to brag about that all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Every single day,
24/7,
365. Right.
And every time the Olympics rolls around, you see that famous clip, Mike, of you hitting that goal.
Right. I have my gold medal in the bank and nobody's taking it away.
That's right. And I just want to let people know, because we're kind of winding down here, that you did some broadcasting after hockey, your playing career. You went back and was assistant coach at Boston University. You're part owner for the USHL Omaha Lancers. You've written books, Miracle on Ice. You helped the making of Miracle on Ice. And you also helped out consulting with the film, and that must have been a lot of fun too.
Yeah, anytime you can be around Kurt Russell is pretty special as well. So it was kind of fun. I didn't have a lot to do with the movie other than talking to Kurt now and then, but... Yeah, things have been good. I've been working at Boston University for the last 30 years. I still continue to do a lot of motivational speaking and get to play a little golf now and then. So, as I always tell my friends, we could have lost. Life would be a little different, but I'd still be living in the town I live in. I'd still be married to the same girl, and my kids would be my kids, and my friends would be my friends, and that's more important than anything else.
Well, you etched yourself in that history. It's not going to change. You're there forever. I want to thank you so much, Mike, for joining us. Mike Ruzzoni, the captain of the USA Hockey Olympic Champions of 1980 at Lake Placid. Such a wonderful honor to have you here, Mike. Continued success and good luck to you, and thanks for joining us.
All right, hey, Ron, thank you, and thanks for having me on. Everyone, be well, stay safe. Take care.
Thank you so much. Mike Ruzzoni, ladies and gentlemen, and we shall return for the final segment right after this.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay, everyone. We're back. We'll see about that. Winding down, and I want you to be reminded of my book, Penguin Power. It's available at theronsayshow.com at the website. And please remember to be following me on Instagram at the official Ron Say. And I want to remind you that I have a book signing in at Camelback Ranch, March 2nd. It's the Dodgers-Cubs spring training exhibition game, and I am going to be there for a few hours, and I hope to see a lot of you Dodger fans there. And the next one after that is March 22nd at Broman's in Pasadena, 7 o'clock start there. Hope to see you all there as well. We have a terrific guest next week, Dr. John Patrick. And he is a former vice president at IBM, has written a number of books about AI and how it is involved in his line of work. And he's a major player in healthcare today on many, many levels. So I'm excited about seeing him and hearing from him next week. Anything else to add to that, Mike?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing you at that Vroman's book signing. I'll be there too. I will be signing various prep sheets that we do for this show right beside you. But that was such a great interview we did with Mike Irizioni. Just a fantastic story. And like you said, even if I was 1 year old when that happened, but it's still one of the biggest moments in all of sports history.
Yeah.
It's an immortal moment. And he was so humble and down to earth about the whole thing. I mean, I would have, worn that gold medal. I'd be still wearing that gold medal.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What an incredible accomplishment. They were very young, their high school, their college kids playing against a very seasoned, experienced.
Pros. The Russians. Yeah, the Russians were pros.
The Czechs. And, yeah. They all were. And what an accomplishment.
And I really wonder, too, how it would have been different if it was actual NHL players, as we have in the Olympics now, playing in that game. I seriously doubt there would be kind of esprit de corps that they had, as pros, as composed to amateurs.
Well, my opinion is that, if they are reluctant about performing in it, don't ask them. We need people who are going to be hungry that really want to make that effort to bring it home. You see it happen in other sports. Some of these Olympic basketball teams, they've had they didn't take the right people with them. So anyway, that is that. And we'll see more about that next week. Thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you next week with our special guest, Dr. John Patrick.